Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You are listening to You Look Hungry on the Heritage Radio Network. I am your host, Helen Holliman, and I am back in the building at our base here in Brooklyn. Feels good to be back. Been on the road this summer. And I'm joined today by a fellow Texan, a lovely lady who is the genius behind the wildly successful and delicious pop-up Tex-Mex restaurant.
Tex-Mex.
Casablanco. Courtney McBroom, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi.
Straight out of the gate, what is Tex-Mex? Because a lot of people assume that it's just tacos, but it's not.
It's so much more than that. Tex-Mex, in my mind, is kind of like a fusion between Southern food and Mexican food, if you will. There's gravy involved. Chili gravy, if you will. Queso, but not queso as in just cheese. It's melted processed cheese with a few secret ingredients that you dip chips into over and over and over and over again because it's so delicious and you can't stop. It's definitely heavier than typical Mexican food. I would say it's perfectly described as a fusion of Southern and Mexican food.
A lot of people don't realize this, but you know, when you go to Texas and you order queso, it's like, it's sort of a religion. It's
a thing. You grow up on it.
You grow up on it. And you know, it has to be made with Velveeta or a processed cheese. Cause yes. If it's straight up real cheese, it's just,
does not work. I've tried over and over and over again and it does not work. It has to be processed cheese.
Which is probably what, like 30% dairy and the rest is like
what
Soylent Green toxins.
Yeah. Soylent Green.
It's really delicious. So what is Casablanco, not Casablanca? And how did it get its start?
Well, Casablanco is the name of the pop-up that my friends and I are doing at Rez for the Le Goûter party every other weekend this summer. It got its start really because a bunch of us work at Milk Bar and we are all from Texas and we always talk about how we miss Texas food because you just cannot find it here. I've searched and I cannot find it. So we had this dream of like showing up to a party with the best Tex-Mex food and everyone being like, oh my God, what is this? And we're like, it's Tex-Mex. And then everyone would freak out. And so, that kind of has started happening. Our dream's coming true. I'm doing it with a guy named Jake Adams and Zoe Canan and Eden Rimmett. And we're just doing it. We're having a great time. It's super fun.
What is Le Goûter? Describe that whole thing, because this is actually pretty awesome as a concept.
It's just a party with DJs in Red Hook happening every other weekend just through the summer. There's three more. I believe the dates are July 28th, August 11th, and then Labor Day, the 2nd.
And the space is owned by the Franks of you know, Frankie Spatino, and, you know, it's known as Rez. And It's a beautiful space, and it's kind of like a dream backyard party situation and great dancing and whatever. But the bottom line is, in the midst of drinking and daiquiri and dancing, you can actually go over and get the most delicious Tex-Mex chalupa you've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Or tacos.
Tacos.
Crispy tacos.
The most delicious quesadilla I've ever eaten. Describe like what you're cooking, because it's really killer.
We call it the Swayze Suave because a suave is a soft taco, and we're obsessed also with Patrick Swayze, and he's super suave. It's technically not a suave because it's technically not a soft taco, but we still call it that because that's what we do. It's refried beans and a Tex-Mex style pimento cheese with some raw onion folded over onto itself in a flour tortilla and then just like griddled on the flat top. It's very, very easy to make, and it's so good. It just like melts together. It's ooey and gooey.
I want it right now. It's really good. Wait, so, all right, you know, let's talk about the fact that Patrick Swayze is a muse for this whole project, because he's plastered all over hot sauce bottles. He's on the menu. I watched somebody walk up and go, can I please have a Swayze taco? What's up with that?
Honestly, I don't know. We were like having a meeting, trying to figure out what the menu was going to be. It all happened very, very quickly. We had like a week and a half to prep for it. And it was like super late because we all worked during the day and we were just delirious. And we were looking at people from Texas. We're like, who are super famous people from Texas like to for inspiration? And we found Patrick Swayze. And I was like, oh, my God. I love Patrick Swayze so much. I was obsessed with Dirty Dancing. I'm still obsessed with Dirty Dancing. And it kind of just catapulted from there because then we Google imaged him and he has so many amazing headshots. It goes on and on and on. There's also, we have a huge list of famous Texans that we want to include, but we're keeping it Swayze for now. We're keeping it Swayze.
You got to keep it simple. I mean, I was actually struck because I feel like a bad Texan that I didn't know that he was from Texas.
I know. So not many people know it.
I proceeded to Google stalk him a little bit, and a couple fun facts. He's from Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. His mother's name is Patsy Yvonne Helen, so I'm already biased towards his mom, her namesake. And, you know, he also has a, he's related, he was the sixth cousin once removed of news commentator John Cameron Swayze, a man we don't know, and the noted Texas Revolutionary soldier Henry Carnes.
Oh.
He comes from a very notable background. Anyway, great dude. Who are some of the other Texans that you feel are truly iconic?
Well, there's obviously Willie Nelson. Ugh, you can't mess with that. Chuck Norris is a good one. Beyonce. Get a little BB on up in there. Let's see. Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else? My mind's now, of course, going blank.
Coach Taylor, Friday Night Lights.
Well, the whole Friday Night Lights
crew
thing
is, yeah, it's a real thing.
It is a real thing. A real, real thing.
George Jones.
George Jones. Very good.
I mean, basically anyone who's great is probably from Texas, but that's a... That's
oh, Erykah Badu is from Texas.
Oh, she's from Houston.
Yeah, people forget. No, I thought she was Dallas.
Yeah, maybe you're right, yeah. Well, what is Swayze sauce?
Swayze sauce is just our house hot sauce. It's really spicy and really delicious, just like Swayze.
Why do you believe that there's no Tex-Mex in New York? It is weird because, you know, you think about, like, there's places such as Brooklyn Star, there's barbecue.
Yeah, and there's so many Texans in New York. It blows my mind that there's not, like, that it hasn't just become this huge thing here. Because it's all about groups of people coming together, drinking margaritas, drinking Texas beer, eating like really spicy, heavy food, like just getting hammered and causing a ruckus, which I think sounds like the best time. And I can't imagine New Yorkers would disagree.
Regrets the next day. That's what we're going for here.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So, you know, let's talk about pop-up restaurants, because this has been a very popular sort of theme throughout New York over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I've had various guests on this show before who've discussed the same topic. You know, some people impart it to the fact that, you know, real estate is an up and down situation around the city.
For sure.
You know, there's spaces that are sitting there for a year and a half unoccupied. But do you feel that this trend is here to stay?
I can't see how it wouldn't be. What's nice about it is for people like me who don't necessarily want to open a restaurant or take on that responsibility, but still want to be able to cook and have fun and like present, like I want to present my food to people to eat. It's a great way to do that without having to sign on to opening a restaurant and having to worry about like the money and like that failing or closing or any of that. It's like you go in, you make the food, and you get out, and you do it as often as you want. You don't do it if you don't feel like doing it. It's kind of like, you know, loosey-goosey.
It's like when you're dating somebody and you're like, you're not my boyfriend right now. We're just dating.
We're just trying
this out here.
I don't want to get serious.
Yeah. Maybe eventually. Maybe you'll find a space.
Maybe one day.
So where are you from in Texas? Let's talk about that.
Well, I grew up in Wichita Falls.
Wichita Falls.
Which is North Texas. It's like right on the border of Oklahoma. But then I went to the University of Texas at Austin and lived in Austin for 12 years. So I have my roots in Wichita Falls, but I consider myself to be from Austin, I would say.
What is your stance on chicken fried steak?
Love it.
You go around the state and there are very different crusts happening in different parts of the state.
Yes.
What's your...
My ideal chicken fried steak is... Honestly, I almost like chicken fried steak fingers because you can pick them up and you can dip them into... It's very important to have mashed potatoes and gravy. It's the most important. You can't have chicken fried steak without mashed potatoes and white gravy. So you can pick it up and dip it into the mashed potato and then shove it in your mouth. And I think it has to be like a lot of chicken fried steaks have like really like bubbly crusts. Like if you cut into it, the crust kind of falls off. I think it's really important that it's like kind of like thin and really crunchy and like really dark. That makes sense.
Absolutely. My aunt makes...
People from Texas know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I hear you loud and clear. There's a... Have you had the Ritz cracker crust?
No.
Chicken fried steak? My aunt makes that. It's sort of a weird...
Let's get her in here.
It's a weird East Texas thing, but, you know, what are you going to do? So, how did you get into food? You know, what led you to this point?
That's a good question. I graduated from journalism school and decided I did not want to be a journalist. I was going to be a chef. So I then went to culinary school. I went to baking and pastry school, actually. And I just started working around Austin. I worked at a bakery, and then I worked on the line for a little while. And that's how I learned to cook, like, savory food. And then I was the pastry chef for 4 years at a restaurant called Jeffrey's in Austin. And then I moved to New York and immediately started working at Milk Bar. And have been ever since.
It's always fascinating to me when... I watch pastry chefs do savory foods. I know that seems kind of silly or biased, but it seems as though you don't expect pastry chefs to be good at cooking savory.
I know, but secretly we're usually better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we have that attention to detail.
Now, in New York, who are some of the pastry chefs you know who make baller savory foods?
Well, Christina Tosi,
yes,
for sure.
Number one.
Who else? I don't think I've had very many pastry chefs I don't think I've ever had any of their savory food.
Brooks Headley. That's the only person I can think of, maybe.
Stupak?
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah, that's a good call. Why didn't I immediately think of that?
Yeah, but this transition into the savory, it's kind of like, it makes perfect sense. So maybe you're more well-rounded in a certain way than regular chefs. We are going to take a very quick break, but when we get back, lots more from Courtney McBroom of Casa Blanco. You are listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Cheese Gainsburg by TaxStar on the heritageradionetwork.org. Keep it locked for more from You Look Hungry.
We'll be right back. This program has been brought to you by TechServe Academy.
TechServe Academy will help you get up to speed with the technology of today in easy-to-digest lessons. TechServe Academy offers a wide variety of topics, so you'll be sure to find a class personalized to the information you need to know.
Classes are conducted in small group sessions, taking you through the topic of your choice in easy-to-understand terms with no technobabble. You'll walk away with new knowledge and the answers you need. Additionally, small class sizes mean you get individualized attention.
TechServe Academy classes are priced at just $19 each and free for members of the TechServe Insider Program. Classes are available for Mac, iOS, and internet topics, and each class is available at least once a month.
TechServe is located at 119 West 23rd Street in Chelsea. Make stuff happen. TechServe.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to You Look Hungry on the Heritage Radio Network. I am still your host, Helen Holliman, and I am back in Brooklyn. Woo! Recording to you live from the Heritage Radio headquarters. Also, eating delicious pizza. And I'm joined today by Courtney McBroom, the brilliance behind Casa Blanco, the first ever Tex-Mex pop-up restaurant in New York City / Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And before the break, we're discussing Patrick Swayze, what is Tex-Mex, why it's not New York City. You know, I'm from Austin. You're from Austin. Let's talk a little bit about 48 hours in Courtney McBroom's life in Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah?
Where would you go? What do you do? What are you
eating? I would probably spend 47 hours at Barton Springs. And that's it. It's been so long since I've been back to Austin. I know so much of it has changed. I would definitely want to hit up for food Uchi or Uchiko. My good friend Philip Spear is one of the head honchos over there, and they're putting out really good food. Also, Key is just opened, I believe, and I would absolutely want to check that place out as well. Also, the new Jeffrey's just reopened. I used to work there before I moved here. So I'd obviously go back to check it out. And then I'd be at Barton Springs the rest of the time.
It is a, there's a lot going on in Austin right now. I was just there and I've noticed, Paul Key is totally Top Chef winner, has opened. And there's a lot, obviously the food truck scene is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of New York talent that's coming down to Austin. People who have been at Per Se and 11 Madison Park, et cetera, are opening restaurants. And it's exciting to see because it seems like finally Austin is gaining that traction.
Exactly. It's something it hasn't had for a very long time. And all of a sudden, it just seems to be blowing up.
Why do you think that that is?
I think people go to Austin and they love it there. And so they want to stay and they want to help make it grow. And I don't blame them. It's a great, great city to be in.
And it's very, it's, South by Southwest, I feel like it only continues to expand.
Oh my goodness.
The interests of people. In terms of Casa Blanco, are you going to be changing the menu?
Yes, we're going to try and change it a little bit every time. Just depending on what people are ordering, what people really like. There's definitely going to be some staples that we won't change. Enter the Swayze Suave and the Texas Crispy Beef Taco, because that's my personal favorite. But other than that, we want to definitely try and do a chicken fried steak, something, some tamales. Get excited for some tamales. Zoe makes some bomb-ass tamales. Seriously, I'm not joking. She's one of the people working on it with me, and she has tamale parties every Christmas growing up, her entire family, and she's a total pro.
What if you could describe five iconic Texan snacks or foods that you must know for listeners on the other side of the universe, what would those things be? Obviously chicken fried steak is
chicken
one of
fried steak.
Yeah,
ranch dressing on everything. Or just a bowl of ranch dressing and a spoon. Bluebell ice cream, for sure. Crispy beef tacos. I think cheese enchiladas with chili gravy.
Oh,
do I have to stop at 5?
Woo. No, you can keep going. You can keep going. Dr. Pepper.
Oh my God, Dr. Yeah. Pepper. Yes. What else? What else? Well, now I can't think of anything.
So, you know, what is it like between you work at Milk Bar, so you're coming up with crazy concoctions of different, like, sweet treats and some savory items as well during the day, and then you also are doing this, like, delicious, homesick, heartwarming Texan savory food. I mean, how do you balance that?
It's actually been not too difficult. I just decided I wasn't going to sleep anymore. No, it's basically like, so we'll have like little meetings after work for a few hours and kind of like devise our game plan for the next pop-up. And then we just kind of divvy it up between the days so that we can just work a few hours every day after work, like after the Milk Bar kitchen shut down, everyone's gone, then we'll like stay after and kind of do some prep here and there, and that way by the time Sunday rolls around we're all set up and ready to go. It actually hasn't been too crazy. It's been fairly smooth and simple.
How would you describe, well, yes, knock on wood, how would you describe the kind of person who eats your food, or what is the kind of person you would like to have eat your food?
Everyone. The kind of person I would like to have eat my food, anyone.
A Swayze fan.
Anyone who's a fan of Patrick Swayze, anyone who's a fan of Texas, or anyone who's not a fan of Texas. I think that covers it.
Fair enough. Yeah. So, you know, what is on the horizon in the future for Casa Blanco?
I don't know. I don't think any of us have really thought about it too much right now. We're just having fun and kind of going with the flow. Really, to be honest, there's no definite plans of anything in the future.
Are you using any culinary inspirations, i.e. cookbooks, or is there anyone that you kind of look to besides maybe, you know, a family member for inspiration when you're
really
developing stuff?
Just like for me, it's just drawing on memories of being a child or being in Texas, of restaurants that I ate at, or family members like Zoe and her dad's tamales and things like that. But I wouldn't say there's no like specific chef that I'm drawing upon inspiration with.
What does it mean to be a Texan?
I think that Texans are generally pretty independent and spirited and hard-headed. I know I am. I know you are. Which I think is great. I think in a nutshell, that would be the main definition, like how I see a Texan, especially Texas women. I feel like Texas women are like that, and Texas men are very kind and gentlemanly, but also loud. Very loud.
If you could, you know, cook a meal for any Texan, fictional, alive, ooh, real, dead, and, you know, it's not Patrick Swayze, if you could sit down with them and, you know, have your food, who would it be and why? And then what beer, what Texan beer would you guys drink when you broke bread?
Well, I know already the beer. It would definitely be from Real Ale Brewing Company, Fireman 4. That's my favorite beer, and it's definitely not up here, and I miss it ever so much. As far as the particular Texan, I feel like I would want to, maybe someone who fought in the Alamo. That seems like it would be a fun time. Davy Crockett? Does he count as a Texan, though? I don't think he's actually from Texas.
He's not, but, you know, he was, I guess he...
What about Jim Bowie? Because then we could use the Bowie knife to cut the food.
Yeah, he would be very handy in that situation.
Or also the obvious would be Willie Nelson, because, you know, I don't need to get
into too many details. I feel like he'd be really hungry for reasons we won't name on air.
He'd want to snack a lot, for sure, and I'm okay with that.
He's 80 years old, and he's still going strong on the road. He's killing it.
Killing it.
Or actually, here's where I would go. I would go to Willie Nelson's ranch called Luck, because you're either in luck or you're out of luck. Literally, that's what he would say. And I would probably eat your quesadillas with him.
Beautiful.
and then go swimming in his pond.
Perfect. I'll see you there.
So I guess we can't really await a Casablanca cookbook or anything of that nature anytime soon, but is there a website or anywhere that I can peep the recipes or beautiful photos of the delicious food that I've had?
Actually, we do have a Tumblr. We're so disorganized. We have a Tumblr, and I don't even know what it is. I haven't even looked at it. Like, we've just been going like this, trying to get everything done. I know that Jake made one. I imagine it's, if you search Casablanca, you can find it. You can go to the Le Goûter website, legouter.nyc. That has like all of the information for the parties on it. And there eventually will be a link to our stuff as soon as I can get my business together.
What is on the horizon for Courtney McBroom?
So much stuff. I'm busy. I'm working on a new cookbook with Christina for Milk Bar that I'm really excited about. We just started it, but it's definitely happening. I would say that's the main thing that I'm super pumped about right now, other than Casablanca.
And you probably can't talk about it.
I would prefer not to because I don't know.
Very wise. Well, I assume it's something very sweet, but
it is.
In the meantime, for all you folks out there, for more information about Casablanca or what's happening at Le Goûter, aka an afternoon snack at Res, go to legoûter.com. And as always, well, you know, Courtney, thank you so much for taking the time to come
on
the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And for all of our listeners out there, thanks so much to Joe Galarraga, Jack Inslee, Eddie, whose name I don't know, last name as of yet, and everybody at Roberta's and Heritage Radio Network. It's nice to be back in the building. I will see y'all next week. Until then, find some air conditioning. Yeah. And queso.
And queso.
Get some meat. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.